Our first feature is the regular opinion piece from Keith Skipper. This week he is not impressed by planners' proposals to build a railway village in the heart of Breckland. Here's Lorna Jesty to read Keith's protests.
Here's a handy little teaser for those who claim to care about Norfolk's future. Take your pick from these BBC repeats and then add one of your own. Big, balmy and crass. Butchering beautiful countryside. Breckland's belligerent campaign. I refer, of course, to a grim resurfacing of that ludicrous idea to dump thousands of homes on farmland at heart of the county and call it a railway village, presumably to build up a head of publicity steam and hope this will tunnel into a favourable brief encounter with fast-track planners. Such a fanciful train link coated in nostalgia is connected to the Mid-Norfolk Heritage Route at a remote county school, and a wistful notion it might be upgraded to connect with the national network and serve a brave new world emerging on green pastures. Thankfully, there are bound to be enough caring residents of North Elm, Billingford and Bintree, villages at centre of this ugly development squall, ready to signal intent to build a platform and lead a renewed fight against such blatant plundering. Apart from the fact I played and watched cricket in all three places several summers ago, I can't think of many other spots where such a scheme would wreak more environmental and social havoc in my home county. It was only 4 years back when this trial of local pride and principles began. A proposed garden town site for up to 10,000 houses. Yes, a development about the size of Thetford was floated towards Breckland District Council, but never got off the drawing board. I warned then how such a brazen venture, dressed up with fashionable eco-labels and dazzling promises of local economy boosts and countless jobs, could be just the start of a long-term seduction programme. It's an old trick to go way over the top with an initial approach and then come back with a much more moderate and acceptable scheme. Good guys, after all. Norfolk has long been regarded as a soft touch in some high places, and we know new prophets of boom are constantly lining up to push their luck. The most cursory glance at how East Dereham and surrounding communities have been overloaded with excessive development in recent years, with more threatened, may suggest too many Breckland councillors, officials and voters are oblivious to depths of feeling regarding loss of local space and character. Perhaps they will counter with claims of merely following examples of most other areas where towns carry bloated fringes and villages take their shares of much-needed expansion to meet needs of a fast-growing population. Even so, a smattering of individual pride in your own patch ought to be paramount. An old Norfolk saying sums it up perfectly. If each before his door swept, the village would be clean. So come on, Breckland, grab that brush and set a bold new example. Meanwhile, I will continue to take heart from those who have gone before, often picking up sneers and snarls of derision on the way. My supporting cast includes a duke and a bishop rubbing shoulders in an EDP cutting from 1939. Make what you will of this. The banquet of the London Society of East Anglians, in which the Easterlings in London meet annually to sing to one another the praises of their native counties, was chiefly remarkable this year for suggestions that we might do well if we wished to keep the charms of the Eastern District, still little known to the mob in motor cars, is to sing its praises softly and only to ourselves. First, we had the Duke of Grafton attributing an unspoilt countryside to the blessings of a bad railway service, which deters people from coming here. And then the Bishop of St. Edmundsbury and Ipswich saying, although there had been much reference of late to the charms of the countryside in Suffolk, this does not mean we want people to come building bungalows and turning quiet country lanes into bypass roads with rushing cars. Our detractors may say that here is proof from Dusal and Episcopal lips that the East Anglian defect of insularity and coldness to strangers persuades the whole population from the highest to the lowest. Yet, may there be more wisdom in that advice, that still being blessed with some quiet countryside, we should keep it quiet? A little bit of distance can lend a lot of enchantment. I cannot help wondering why all those passionate Easterlings were exiled in the capital in the first place. Even so, sentiments shared on that occasion over 80 years ago, and I like to think architects and planners were in attendance, remain in fashion for those unimpressed by transient stickers and trendy slogans. It remains one of the biggest quirks of our age that the quicker we devalue rural life, the louder becomes praise for its obvious virtues. Just consider the number of forces selling rustic dreams built around thatched cottages, leafy lanes, and bucolic bonhomie.